It is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto those who wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion, according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause. The Lord approveth not. Let us search and try our ways, and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. These meaningful words are found in the Lamentations of Jeremiah in chapter 3. It was the heartfelt prayer and lamentations that Jeremiah gave expression to after the destruction of his beloved city, Jerusalem. Most of us can't begin to realize or fathom the emotion, the feelings that people have had down through the centuries who have been in the midst of destruction. Here in America, God has blessed us so much. We don't know the ravages of war, not here within our shores, in our generation. They did back during the Revolutionary War and the Civil War, but in our generation, we don't know anything here within our country. Not like those poor people in the far-flung regions of the earth who on a daily basis hear the bombs and the gunfire and soldiers knocking at the door in the middle of the night. And to think how Jeremiah must have felt in the destruction of his beloved city, Jerusalem, we can't even begin to imagine it, except maybe some of you who are listening to the program and you served in the military and you were in some of those places and you saw buddies blown apart and you saw heartache and disaster, then you can relate to Jeremiah. As he walked the streets of Jerusalem and there were dead corpses everywhere, there were his friends, there were the people that he had preached to and ministered to, as he stood on the street corner day after day proclaiming the word of the Lord and the warnings from heaven, but they turned a deaf ear and they wouldn't listen. And all the disaster that Jeremiah prophesied and foretold would come to pass did come to pass. But he was not one of those to say, "I told you so." He was one of those who would say, "Oh, that my head were filled with waters and tears, and I would weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." And he poured his heart out to God. But in the midst of his lamentations, he says those beautiful words that I just read to you. It is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. To be able to attest to the faithfulness of God and to express praise toward God for his great faithfulness in the midst of a national calamity is pure faith and love and devotion. Even though man fails and friends fail and the people around you fail, Jeremiah knew that God never fails. God never fails. This is my Father's world. Oh, may I ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. That's the faith of the Christian, isn't it? Even in the midst of chaos and confusion and disaster, and when it seems that everything is going downhill, we cling to the faithfulness of God who is the ruler yet. Evil has always run rampant from the very beginning, ever since the Garden of Eden, down through the centuries. And just read the story of the flood in the days of Noah. And how that even the very imaginations of the people was evil continually before the Lord. It's always been like that. If you want to read some black pages in history, just read the Bible. Read how the people were in the days of Noah. Read how the people were in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, in the lifetime of Lot and his uncle Abraham. But you know, even though evil and corruption has always run rampant, and the multitudes have gone in that direction, God has remained faithful to those who love him and call upon him. Jesus said in his prayer to his heavenly Father, as he prayed for his disciples, "I don't pray, Father, that you take them out of this world. I pray that you keep them from the evil within this world." The evil has always been here. We're told in the Bible that as the last days come closer and closer, things are going to get worse and worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And there will come an unprecedented activity of demons and corruption and evil. But even so, God remains faithful to those who love him and call upon him. I find that so consoling. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And I certainly think that one of the greatest hymns ever written is this one that talks about the faithfulness of God. I like especially the third stanza, "Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine, with 10,000 beside."
Thou hast been, thou forever wilt be.
And remember, Jeremiah spoke those words, "Great is thy faithfulness," not when everything was going beautifully well in his life and for his friends and loved ones, but as he stood amid the ruins of his beloved city, Jerusalem. The bottom had dropped out. Everything had gone in reverse. And he pins his faith in an unchanging God. "Great is thy faithfulness." Who can watch the rising sun or see the wonders of good that God has done? Who can count them one by one and say, "There is no God"? Who the orchard's gifts can share, can taste the fruit that ripens there, can watch it grow and yet declare that God is dead? Who can see the wonders done by missionaries' efforts spun, or count the souls their works have won and claim there is no God? Who can look upon the grain, the clouds above that bring the rain to nourish crops on field and plain, yet dares infer that God is dead? Who is so blind he cannot see the wonders wrought in Galilee by Christ who came for all to see and know there is a God? Oh, I enjoy these moments of devotions that I can share with you. And I count it a distinct privilege to be able to gather with you at the altar day after day for 30 minutes of morning devotions, just to praise the Lord, to worship Him, to allow our hearts and lives and souls and emotions and nerves to be filled with His Holy Spirit. No matter where you go to church, the program is for everybody. If you're Methodist or Baptist, Presbyterian, if you're Roman Catholic or Protestant, if you're a Mormon out there listening, if you have no church at all, if you're an atheist, an infidel, the program is meant for everybody who wants to listen and if there can be some spark of desire toward God. As Isaiah said, "Ho, everyone who thirsteth, come to the waters, and he that hath no money, come buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why will you spend your money for that which satisfieth not?" The gospel that it is my privilege to proclaim to you. Wherever you go to church, or if you go to no church at all, is that gospel that I believe with all my heart fully satisfies the hungry and the thirsty soul. If there is a vacuum in your heart, if there is an emptiness there that nothing else has been able to satiate the longing heart or satisfy the thirsty soul, then come to Jesus. Find in Him all that you need. He is our everything. O Lord, Thou hast made us for Thyself, and our hearts are restless till they rest in Thee. I won't find it in religion. A lot of people have tried that. They go to church. They go through all the formality, but their hearts aren't right with God. They don't know Christ as Savior. They just go and sing the songs and pray the prayers and go through all the ritual and come home as empty as when they went. Because it's not in religion per se. Christianity is in a living Savior in Jesus Christ. You can belong to every church in town, and if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, then it becomes meaningless. I believe that is exactly what Jesus meant when he said to Nicodemus, who was a very religious person, "You must be born again. Born of the Spirit, born of the water, you must be born again. It is necessary that we become new creatures in Christ Jesus." Not somebody just made over, not someone just reformed, not someone made religious, but brand new. "Ye must be born again." O Spirit of God, work within our hearts today a miracle of your love and grace It is our desire to not just simply be religious and not just know the Bible and not just sing songs about Jesus, but it is our desire to know the Lord personally, for Jesus Christ to dwell in our hearts. And I pray for my friends, wherever they're listening to this broadcast, wherever they may be in this precise moment, if they don't have the peace of heaven in their soul, if they don't know Christ as their personal Savior and know that He lives within their hearts, I pray that at this precise moment, right now, they will open the door of their hearts and pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Make me a Christian. Cause me to come to know You as my Lord and Savior, and give me the peace of heaven in my soul and the awareness that the burden of sin has been lifted, the guilt has been erased. My heart has been made as white as snow in the blood of the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust, in Jesus' precious name. Thank You for all that You have done for me. Thank You for what You are doing right now. Amen. Like especially that second stanza they were singing. It certainly tells of the change that comes into one's life when Christ, the light, comes in and dispels the darkness. The words say, the hills and the mountains break forth into singing. The tall, stately trees and fields clap their hands. In place of the thorn, there shall grow a tall fir tree. A tender plant sprouts from the sand. Praise be to Jesus, the sweet rose of Sharon. Praise to the Christ, the Redeemer of men. Praise to the King who is reigning forever, the hope of the ages, my master and friend. But do you know that's exactly what God does for us? And Isaiah chapter 61 tells us that, how he gives us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise. He gives us the good things to replace the dismal and the sad and the sorrowful. The tall, stately trees and fields clap their hands. In place of the thorn, there shall grow a tall fir tree. Oh, may God bring this to pass in your life. If you're one of those garbed with the garment of sorrow and mourning, may he put within you the garment of praise and joy. When you know that all is well between your soul and the Savior, then his peace will fill your heart and his joy will be overwhelming. The Bible calls it unspeakable joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. A joy that is unbelievable, inexpressible, that God puts within the heart. And not because you're being successful in everything you're doing and the skies are blue and everything is going rosy and nothing could be any better. Oh no, the Lord's joy is in spite of anything that happens. And you know, so often when someone gives their heart and life to Jesus Christ, a lot of other things go in reverse. Friends drop you. The devil is certainly mad at you and trying to get you back. You can be sure of that. And remember, this world is no friend to grace. This world is the one who crucified the Savior. And if you belong to Jesus, the world is going to hate you. So there's going to be plenty of conflict. And so often when someone gives their life to Jesus, the peace will be there, the joy will be there, but the conflict is going to be there too. But no matter, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And what I am so grateful for is the fact that when we give ourselves to Christ and we commit ourselves into his keeping, the Bible says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. I know the Lord is able to keep our feet from falling. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, lead us gently home. Take us by the hand. Guide us one step at a time. Protect our footsteps. We don't want to fall. We don't want to slip or slide. And unto you who is able to keep our feet from falling, we make our petition and our prayer this morning. Lead me gently home, Father. Lead me gently home. Don't let me fall. Don't let my feet stumble. But may I walk surely in your ways. Oh, I've enjoyed being with you so much as we have shared together 30 minutes of morning devotions. This is John Thrasher. Thank you for listening. And I trust that you have a good, bright, happy, victorious day today. Our mailing address, Morning Devotions, Post Office Box 552, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And thanks to our listeners who helped to make these programs possible. God bless you abundantly.